on the line with us right now, our first time, Farzetta and Trey, getting to interview Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, getting to interview 76ers head coach Brett Brown. Brett, great to have you on, man.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's jump right into it. Season's getting underway, but this offseason was a bit of a crazy one. How would you sum it up with all the things that went on, both behind the scenes and obviously while you were at the podium, press conferences, bringing in players, new GM, all that? How'd the whole offseason go for you?
I mean, it was very out of sync for me personally. The routine of a coach and what you do in the offseason has been sort of a consistent lifestyle that I've lived for, you know, many, many years. And this off season was different with Brian's situation and inheriting some of the responsibility. And you were really just trying to help move the club forward and do what you could. But it was very, very different, I think, to say the least.
Brett, how'd you like having the first opportunity in your career to really have a little bit more power than just a head coach, really running a front office?
I didn't like it. I don't want the responsibility. It's nothing I aspire to pursue. I felt that the club needed some help, and I had been around the longest, and it's just something like you felt that was your time to step up and do what you could to hold us together and buy some time. But I think when I say that, it's generally because I feel like the bandwidth that it truly requires to do the job that needs to be done, I can't give. I can't give that as a head coach. And, you know, you were Band-Aid for 3 months, and I'm excited to have Elton. I think Elton's going to be fantastic.
One of the things Ben Simmons said recently, it was to NBA TV, was that no one ever taught him how to shoot. I don't know if you saw that, if you heard about it, and just what you thought about that and really the maturation process going into the issue this year with Ben Simmons.
I mean, if you think about that statement, and he's the son of a very, very good basketball player, professional basketball player. And I think what it does to me is two things. It first highlights how he could impact the game with all of his other skills and especially his athleticism without really feeling the need to shoot. I mean, think about it. When we go back and you look at like his LSU days, the fact that he didn't shoot a three in college and was as dominant as he was, to think he's just going to like jump into the NBA and have that all of a sudden become a part of his repertoire is really quite naive. That's the first thing. The second thing is, as he grows this and he's getting better at it, he's getting more comfortable with it, my judgment goes straight to the free throw line first, and we can judge it. I feel better from that floor spot, that distance. Imagine what he can be. He was the rookie of the year last year without really shooting that much, if at all, at times. And I think all over the place, I think it's exciting.
Brett, with the turmoil that was kind of surrounding you this offseason that you just laid out, was there some comfort in that you had stability roster-wise? So for the first time, you know, since you've been here pretty much, you're bringing back, if you want, the same starting five, a majority of your bench. You know, there was pieces here and there. Did the stability that you have within the roster, within the players around you, kind of offset what else happened this offseason?
I think it did, Bob. You know, it was, to your point, the first time that I felt that you actually had corporate knowledge coming back. And in my old job, you saw that as years unfolded and you sort of maintain the same style of play, the same culture. I think those two things are very different. But when you can hang on to both, then you come into a locker room and there's a comfort level from a professional side, not just accepting the room or accepting the gym. It's a good standard that we can move forward. And to your point, I think the corporate knowledge that we've been able to bring back and the familiarity certainly gives us, I think, a jump on this season.
Joel Embiid going through his first, and we're speaking with 76ers head coach Brett Brown. Joel Embiid goes through his first offseason healthy as a professional. How much of a step forward do you expect from him this year?
I think all over the place. You know, he's made his declaration of what he hopes to get done himself. I just see, and I saw him all summer. You know, I'd go visit him in Los Angeles, and you'd see him here in the gym in Philadelphia. And his health has allowed him to sort of approach a weight room, approach a court. You know, seeing him, say, at 6 in the morning in June in California, as I did a few times, and just watching him sort of drenched with sweat and getting up and down the floor and just being so committed to getting better. I think the baseline is his health. And at times, I think we all forget, you know, he really wasn't a part of the regular season end. And then we sort of inherited and absorbed him back with a mask after he was out for effectively a month. And I just think a healthy Joel Embiid is really, really putting himself in a position to be dominant this year.
He said he wants to be MVP. Is that realistic?
I remind him that it's most valuable person. I'm just always in the mindset with Ben and Joel to remind them that, you know, this is their city. This is their program. This is their team. And the leadership end of it is what interests me the most. I do believe, based on what I've seen so far, that he is going to be dominant. I really feel that he for sure will have his best year to date in the NBA. I think that's going to equate into some level of dominance. And, you know, he's different. We all know how gifted he is.
Brett, you have said that getting to the NBA Finals is a real goal for you, and the team, to me, that stands in front of you is the one that prevented you from trying that last year, and that's the Celtics. Tell the listeners, how have you guys improved that you've closed that gap between you and the Celtics? Where is the improvement on your team where that gap is closed?
I mean, I think if we're all honest, that's yet to be determined. You know, we lost Ersan and Marco Bellinelli. We brought in Muscala and Wilson Chandler, and we're trying to grow Markelle Fultz. And so I think the reality of it is this is going to take a little while to piece this together. And I think, you know, you hear me talk about thirds of an NBA season all right. The time. And I think that we can all honestly, you know, step back more toward the end of the first third and figure out where we are. I feel like when you look at the I guess you call them the experts, you know, normally they talk about Toronto and Boston a little bit quicker than they talk about us. I think when you look at the all-stars that they have on Toronto and Boston, and I think we'd all be not wise to dismiss Milwaukee. Then, you know, give us a few months and let's see how this thing plays out and how people grow and the team responds and Markel continues to get better. I think then we can probably talk more candidly.
Hey, Coach, how do you manage the personalities when you have Joel that's a bigger than life personality and then you have Ben that's a little bit more quieter and then Fultz is kind of like the little brother? So how do you manage those personalities and get everybody on the same page?
I mean, I think you just got to coach them. I'm convinced that everybody down deep wants some level of law and order. They want discipline. They want to be told the truth. They understand that if the coach can coach the best players and everything else makes sense. And, you know, it's just how I sort of see the world. And I really respect the team. I like the team. And we coexist just fine. And we all understand with the sort of burdens and pressure, sometimes exacerbated by social media and just inherent goals, that it is a challenge. But I try personally just to get way out in front of it and just keep things very candid and very real.
Speaking with 76ers head coach Brett Brown. Brett, going into the season, or rather going into the offseason, you talked about star hunting, you talked about star developing, and you talked about how this team needs another level of talent, needs to go out and get that. You mentioned some of the guys that you brought in, but I don't think any of those guys in the fans' eyes will fulfill the need of a star hunt or anything like that. So why should fans buy into the idea that this year you might be better than Boston and maybe fulfill your goal of getting to the finals?
Well, I think, like I said at the start, nobody's trying to sell that notion without seeing where we are at. It is true. LeBron did not come here, and Paul George did not come here, and who else? Kawhi did not come here, and so we get it. And I think to sort of dismiss the team or to consider that to be a failed off season is really, you know, kind of rough. I think the other part of the equation that we spoke about was trying to develop stars. You know, I look forward to seeing Markell. I look forward to seeing a year older Ben Simmons and Joel. And like looking at our new guys, Wilson Chandler and Muscala come together. And so it's going to take time. And, you know, I think as this thing unfolds, say in the first third, we're all going to be better experts on the judgment of where we really are at.
Last one for me, Brett. When it comes to Markelle Fultz, then it seems like a lot is banking on him and his development to take that step forward. So what can fans expect from Markelle Fultz?
They can expect that they're going to look at a 20-year-old. They can expect that they're going to look at somebody that hasn't played but a second of NBA basketball. And there is a reality check that we all have to live under, that the excitement of the first player chosen, which sometimes, you know, puts additional pressure and we get it, or expectation and we get it. But the reality of it is he's young. And, you know, I'm going to try to play him the large majority of his minutes with the ball. I think he can impact the game initially, immediately better with the ball. He'll have some off guard responsibilities next to Ben. But, you know, he's ours. And I think when people see him, especially in open court, that they're going to get very, very excited.
Do you plan on having him as a starter?
I do.
There was some talk about him starting, him not starting the second. That's all just fluid, right, Brett? Like, you'll look at him, you'll see what's what, and you'll go with it, right? I should ask, is that what you'll do, or is there a different kind of game plan?
Well, I think I've been on record saying it. I'll repeat it. I feel like with Markell, I have a responsibility to grow him, to right, help him be a part of Ben and Joel and see what we have in Markell Fultz. In that same breath, you know, you want to win games and you want to help grow the team. I think that all of us need to understand that sometimes you got to take some hits and experience some pain to be a better team in May and then maybe one day June. You know, my goal is to make a deep run in the playoffs. It's not to win 50 games or 56 or 48. That's not where my head is at. And so playing Markelle Fultz is all a part of that. Also trying to get some, you know, like lightning in a bottle firepower from the bench and say a JJ Redick to start a game. And, you know, my intention is to start him. And to try to move him forward that way, we'll probably go more back to a balanced lineup in the second half where I can play him all of his minutes as a ball carrier, as the primary point guard. And from a rotational standpoint, and this is so studied, we've been doing this all summer, it really feels this early stage that makes most sense for all of those goals that I just said.
All right, Brett, thank you so much for coming on with us, man.